Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word, which has been inbreathed by your Holy Spirit. May he speak to our hearts and minds and give us a fresh vision of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It was difficult to choose a sermon topic for today. There's so much to talk about. On the one hand, two of the lessons have got the theme of Christ as a shepherd, and we are his sheep. But on the other hand, some sections of the church celebrate today Christ the King. The last year of the church's calendar, thinking of Christ the King. So what was I to choose? The answer is a British compromise. a bit of each. So we're considering Christ the Shepherd King. And I don't think we're wrong in doing so. I think there are some 48 titles of Christ in the scriptures, if you search them out. And no one title can tell you everything. Each talks about some aspect of our Savior. But putting two together, we get more aspects of the truth. And indeed, we will find as we look at the lessons that where there is a theme of Christ as the shepherd, the theme of Christ the King is not very far away. And where there's a theme of Christ the King, the concept of a shepherd is not very far away. So the two together give us a wonderful picture of Christ. As a king, we think of him as being remote, someone you would be afraid to approach. If I was approaching Queen Elizabeth II, I'd be nervous, to put it mildly. But a king, somehow, you tend to think as being somebody remote. And a shepherd, you think of being as somebody near, somebody caring. And we must look at this composite picture of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at the titles of Christ, not as not as theory. There's a lot of discussion we could go into, for example, about Christ as King. What does it mean by his kingdom and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Is it now or in the future or both? A lot could be said about that. But I want to put a different emphasis on this. I want us to ask, what is our response? That's the key word tonight. What is our response to Jesus Christ as our shepherd? What is our response to Jesus Christ as a king? And what will be our response to him on the last day as our king? So we look at these titles of Christ, and we start with Christ the shepherd. This is this theme was in the reading from Ezekiel, where thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. And of course, this is talking about the Lord, talking about God as a shepherd. And then in Psalm 95, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So we must look at this concept. We see the Old Testament concept of God as a shepherd. We must, in a moment, ask, what does the New Testament tell us about this? But if we look, first of all, at the psalm, if you look at Psalm 95, there are two very distinct parts to the psalm. In the verses 1 to 7, the first part of verse 7, there's an exhortation to sing praise, to sing songs of praise to God. And the whole bundle of reasons given for this, we think of God's greatness, his sovereignty, his kingship. He is the king of creation. So you see, he is our shepherd. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. But he is the king of creation. The two, the shepherd and the king motifs, if you like, come together. And we get much more richness of truth by considering them together. So he is the king, and yet he cares for individuals. We are like sheep. And sheep need pastoral care. We're like sheep, and sheep aren't the most sensible of animals. But in Psalm 95, there is a second part of it, beginning in the second part of verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice, etc. What we're saying is, what is our response to Christ our shepherd? Earlier in the psalm, it gives the proper response. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And then in the second part of the psalm, there comes a very distinct warning. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Your fathers put me to the test, put me to the proof. And this was a reference back to the experience of God's people in the wilderness. The context of this is that the people had been miraculously rescued from Egypt. They complained. They were miraculously fed in the wilderness. They complained. There was a miraculous water supply. They complained. They were given divine guidance by pillars of cloud and pillar of fire. They complained. They wanted to choose leaders and go back to Egypt. Then they're described as having hard hearts. God loathed that generation. And God's wrath, we read, was poured out on them. That generation who were so abysmal in their response to God never saw the promised land. That was left to a later generation. So immediately we're saying something about Christ as our shepherd, his loving provision, or God as our shepherd and loving provision. And yet we're saying human rebellion against that. We're getting here truths not only about the nature of God, but also about human nature. So that's in the psalm for today. If we go to the Ezekiel passage, we've also got a shepherd theme. And this is a very different background from the psalm. The psalm was looking back to the time of the wilderness when the people had been released from Egypt. But this is fast forward many years. A later generation had entered the promised land. They had established a kingdom. That kingdom had split. The northern kingdom was wiped out. And the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem was left. And what happened? Destroyed. The temple, which was the place of God's glory, was profaned and it was flat. The city was burnt. The people were taken into captivity. And they wailed and moaned, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And you see, in a sense, the symmetry here. In the psalm, it talks about the wilderness. The people had been rescued from slavery. and they complained. But eventually they were brought into their land, but they rebelled against God, back into slavery, back into captivity. So this is, again, the people refused God's care. And it was unthinkable that the magnificent temple built under King Solomon should be destroyed. And what factors were involved in that? Well, of course, ultimately it was a rejection of God, a worship of false gods. But one of the problems was the people had bad leaders. They were badly led. The leaders of the people are, in a sense, if you were to take your Bibles and look in the early part of Ezekiel 34, the leaders of the people were called shepherds of Israel, and they were utterly corrupt. Prophets, priests, kings, utterly corrupt. Ah, says Ezekiel, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding, yourselves. You get an image here of a shepherd having a rack of lamb for dinner. But the shepherds were feeding on the sheep. They were getting the wool from the sheep to keep warm. And the prophet says, shouldn't the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter them, but you do not feed the sheep. So that human leadership that the people had was utterly corrupt. It was a leadership of the people that was self-seeking. This is actually rather contemporary, isn't it? How many world leaders feed themselves? I'm not going to go in country by country. But this is the basic greed and the basic wickedness of human nature, that human leadership at its worst is utterly horrible. This leadership makes others suffer while the leaders enrich themselves. One could quote many countries where this is happening. Human nature hasn't changed, and God's word is desperately relevant to today, where people are suffering under corrupt, greedy, incompetent leadership. As now, so then. And I think that this immediately points to us that our hope should never be on human leadership. And our hope should never be on human solutions. It doesn't work. You may try to change society, it doesn't work. The corruption and the guilt of human nature are there right through the core of human existence. It needs something very, very different. And the prophet says, no longer will the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from them, so there be food for them. So here then, Ezekiel leads on to talk about a good shepherd who is to come. God, the Lord God says, I will search for my sheep and will seek them out. The Old Testament prophecy here is, despite the utter wretchedness of human nature, And the wickedness of leadership, and the sheer blatant folly of relying on human wisdom and leadership. Despite that, there's a loving shepherd who cares, who feeds the sheep. And so we see, this is why if we go back to Psalm 95, there is a very clear-cut warning here. Don't harden your hearts. It's so important that it's repeated in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. You can check that out, but it's there, that absolute warning. And this is something that scriptures warn us, and we must respond to our loving shepherd, and we must respond to the king. We mustn't have hard hearts. We mustn't test God. Nor must we simply choose passages of scripture to suit ourselves. I've seen versions of this psalm printed where they've cut out verses 7 to the end. That's horrible. That's tampering with divine truth. And that is egregious, to put it mildly. So what we see here is the promise of a shepherd. And the obvious way to look at this is in the light of the New Testament. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now you see the contrast. Human shepherds give the sheep's lives for themselves. Christ gave himself for us. And the wrath that God gets was poured out on him on Calvary. He gave his life for us, that we, accepting that, can be forgiven and renewed and can be his sheep. What a contrast. Jesus, the good shepherd, gives his life for his sheep. And human leaders give the sheep for their lives, if you like, the other way round. How do we respond to Christ, the shepherd? How do we respond to the one who gave his life for us? And in our service of Holy Communion, we'll be thinking about Christ gave his life, a once for all perfect sacrifice. May we all be relying on that and Christ's righteousness, and not on any human solution for human problems, which will be hopeless. But let's look at Christ the King. It's there in Psalm 95, a great king above all gods. He made everything. He is sovereign. The epistle reading looks forward to the complete establishment of the kingdom of God. But it's in the gospel for today that we really look at Christ the King. We have seen that he is the king of creation. He is the king of the present in control, but he's the everlasting king. And Matthew records that Jesus taught that he is going to come again with his angels to a throne of judgment. And there's going to be a massive time of separation. Image after image in the New Testament talks of separation. Sheep and goats, good fish and bad fish, wheat and tares. A separation. Some will be left, some will be taken, some will be left. The key thought is that separation. A final and complete, irreversible separation of those who have accepted Christ as King, everlasting life, and those who have rejected him, everlasting punishment. That's the teachings of our Lord. And so this brings out the importance of responding to Christ the King. Someday we're all going to have to respond to Christ the King. Someday we're all going to be directly in his presence when he comes as judge. And this calls us to be ready. So in our approach to Christ, let us remember that there is a sense in which we are under shepherds. We come under the good shepherd. But there are people who look up to us. There are people who depend on us. This maybe that parents and grandparents and godparents are our shepherds. The young people who look up for this advice. We may be shepherds for people in the workplace or socially. But we all have spiritual responsibility. If we're following Christ, that spiritual responsibility to others. Not to glorify ourselves. Not to feed ourselves. But that the glory may go to Christ. And then we ask, how do we respond as sheep? Sadly, in Scripture, there are many, many different phrases used for rejection of God and rejection of Christ. Neglect is one of them. Contempt is one of them. Contempt of God's word. Indifference, rebellion, striving with God, mocking, disobedience, hating God, rejection of God. And there's one more, and this one I want to emphasize. The danger of procrastination. The text in the psalm says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And this is emphasized in the letter to the Hebrews. Today, because there is coming a time when this world is going, Christ is going to come to it, and the world as we know it will end, and there is no second chance to accept Christ. And we don't know when that day is. We don't set dates. It could be tonight. I remember once in a church in Belfast, the minister was reading the notices, and then he suddenly said, "If the Lord tarry," and it made everybody think, "Oh, will this have happened? Will it have come before next Sunday?" It really, there was a shocked silence in the congregation. It really made people think. But there is a day coming. We don't know when. But the imperative of God's message is today, if you will hear his voice. Don't harden your hearts. So the question is not only how do we respond to our loving God, the caring shepherd and the Almighty King. Not only how do we respond, but when do we respond? And the Advent season is coming. We will be remembering that Christ came to this earth and he came to die. Not like ordinary children who will be born and who will die. Christ's purpose was to die. To give his life for the sheep. And he's coming again. And his purpose is to judge. So let's take these issues before God very seriously. Let us examine ourselves and say, what are we doing with the revelation of God's truth? Are we submitting? Are we yielding? Are we obeying? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonders of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. For his sovereignty as the King of glory and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And for his loving, tender care as a sympathetic, healing shepherd. O Lord, may we all accept Jesus Christ as the one who forgives our sins. May we accept that forgiveness and seek to follow him as faithful sheep and obey him and accept his wonderful provisions with gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.